This is Rewired Radio with Erica Spiegelman, addiction and wellness specialist, motivational speaker, and author, helping individuals, couples, and families regain a sense of control, leading to personal growth, wellness, and a more fulfilling life. Here's Erica Spiegelman.
Welcome, everyone. If we want to heal our emotional wounds and move past trauma in our lives, we must understand that our pain originated from our childhood patterns and experiences. Regardless of our age, we all have an inner child who needs love and attention. My guest today, Noah Rothschild, is a renowned recovery psychotherapist and an inner child expert. Noah will talk about how we can all get to know our inner child and will offer practical tools and techniques that will help us connect with, rebirth, and nourish that inner child. Noah is just the most wonderful therapist that I know, and I'm so honored, so grateful to have him with us today. Noah, thank you for being on.
Hey, Erica. Great to connect with you, and I'm so honored to be here with you. You are one of the greatest healers that I know, so an honor and pleasure to be here today.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I know there's so many places to begin with you because there's so much to talk about, but I really have admired for watching you all these years, really helping people heal this inner child and heal what that is, that core injury or that incident or that belief or that thought that we have about ourselves, an agreement almost like we make with ourselves that may not necessarily be true and may be hindering us from living our best life. Can you talk to that a little bit or what that is, the inner child?
Yeah, exactly. So there is this unconscious belief that all of us have that is the driving force in our life that generates a story. And this unconscious belief that we carry around, negative belief system, in one way we can look at this inner child as a part of ourself, and wiring in our brain, actually, that made up a belief system about events in our childhood that really had nothing to do with us, but left to our own devices. We all make, as children, make those events that happen about ourselves. So we develop a belief about ourselves like, I'm not enough, I'm not lovable, I'm not wanted, I'm all alone, I'm too much, I can't be who I am. And this belief system is a theme that draws us to the same people and circumstances over and over again. So a lot of us try to set positive intentions, but if we don't really get down to the nitty-gritty of where this stuff started and start to see these belief systems as this wounded child inside that just made up this story that really wasn't even true, but had to make it about themselves. Sometimes in order to make their parents okay or make their situation seem better, they did this and they took the hit and took it upon themselves. And so this work is about rewiring the brain, actually, and connecting right and left hemispheres of the brain and starting to create a more truthful narrative about ourselves that will help us heal and hopefully be successful on our journey of recovery.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the goal, because I think most people really do want to get out of these patterns and these old thoughts about themselves. But, you know, how do we really help somebody that has been, you know, let's say living and marinated in this kind of thought of who they are for decades and decades and decades? And then all of a sudden we say, you know what, you are worthy of love, and you are smart, or you are capable. And yet everything has been reinforced in their lives. And they've probably been reinforcing this as well, that they're not, you know. So do we have to have them take little actions so that they have a contrast so they could see what they're capable of, or, you know, start to choose, you know, better partners? Like what, how do we help people kind of,
so on a real on a practical level, how does this apply? What happens is the first thing we have to do is we first look on the timeline of 0 to 7, 7 to 14, 14 to 21, we track on that timeline the themes of emotional injury and the different fragmented parts of ourself or our inner child that we created belief systems about. And usually it's pretty much the same belief system over and over again due to those injuries. And so the first part of the healing is acknowledging that that part of ourself exists, that wiring exists in our mind and our body. And the best way to look at that is, first, we want to practically I have my clients get a picture of themselves at the age that most stands out, that was most traumatic or disruptive to their well-being. And if you can get a picture of yourself, if you don't have a picture, then we can just imagine that time. We get a picture of ourselves. We even put that on our screensaver of our phone, and we really want to start every day to connect with that child. So I first give my clients a series of messages called good parent messages. These are from the form of therapy that I practice called integrative body psychotherapy. And my mentor, Jack Rosenberg, came up with these messages that tap into all the developmental milestones and messages that we would have needed growing up on those three timelines that I mentioned. And so I, at least for the first 30 days, I have my clients give these messages to themselves and imagine giving them from the grown-up part of themselves to the child part of themselves, from the part of themselves that's showing up and getting sober in their life on this path of getting healthy to the child that got fragmented and wounded and developed that belief system. And they say, I love you. I want you. I see you and I hear you. You don't have to be alone anymore. You don't have to be afraid anymore. You can trust me. I'll take care of you. I'll keep you sober and safe. I believe in you. I'm proud of you. And in particular, it's not what you do. It's who you are that I love. I love you for who you are. And there's more messages as well. Those are just some of the examples. So we start with that, and then we move into utilizing this new narrative that we start to create from that first getting out the emotion. And then we want to start to create a baseline of well-being. And usually underneath the sadness is an authentic child that had an original blueprint, an original destiny for who they were before they got interrupted in their life or fragmented. And that starts to come out underneath the pain. And so we start to even ask, what did we love to do before we did drugs or alcohol? What did we love to do before our mom and dad got divorced or before we were abused or before we felt left out at school or labeled ADD? And we start to come up with these authentic things that we lost touch with that start to become kind of positive addictions in our life. And then we would say, get our clients to go out and take action on what those things are that we come up with, that kind of natural self, that natural child of the universe that was underneath this emotional pain and residue. And when we unearth that, then another step is creating well-being practices. And the well-being practice that I like to teach the most is breath work. And then I like to follow with the affirmation, because those two things change our mood and we rewire our brain and our body towards a template of well-being and wholeness and completeness.
Wow. Noah, that's so powerful. I mean, everything you just said is extremely powerful and rings so true. I think everybody could identify with that child within. And I love really just, it's so wonderful that you give a voice to that child, because I think so many people have suppressed it and hidden it and buried it and it's, you know, gone for years. Yet something, a nagging voice is always there, you know, and especially working with people in addiction like you have for so long and I have too, we really get to see people transform and create a new identity for themselves, which is so magical to watch when they emerge.
Yeah, it is magical to see them reclaim this authentic part of themselves where they thought they can only tap into this through drugs or alcohol or other negative things, or through a relationship that they thought they needed that was codependent or was abusive. But they start to find that there's a self-efficacy and a place inside of them that's always been there that just got interrupted. And when they start to tend to that place, kind of like watering a plant in a way, this natural voice starts to come out, this part of ourself that can start to set boundaries and say no to people and say no to people in the past that were detrimental to us, relationships, even set boundaries with parents that might be toxic, and actually show up and teach people how to be differently with us, because we're the architect of our life. We're meant to be powerful. Mm-hmm. We're meant, children who get that deep sense of love and connection for who they are, we call that limbic attunement, they end up gravitating towards being in their own voice and moving towards their own well-being. They're an agent for themselves. And those of us who get interrupted like this, and most of us in recovery, because most research shows that most people in recovery have some early childhood trauma and early childhood injuries. But those who get those goodies and that well-being from that sense of unconditional love and limbic attunement really end up following their voice and have a sense of authorship over their own life. So with this work, we can actually get back on that track and rewire, as your show says as well, to a place mm-hmm. where we can actually live that life that we were born to live, that we were meant to live.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's so interesting about the limbic attunement too, because I know that exists, but you know, we also are working with people that have had some kind of trauma, and also the people that have created trauma for themselves as adults. You know, I know, you know, you and I are experienced with working with people that have, through their drug addiction or through bad choices or through negative thought patterns, have chose abusive partners, have chosen, you know, something that has gotten in the way of their life too. And that, I think, adds another layer of trauma, the trauma that they've created themselves. And I know that working with setting intentions is also something that you are pretty aware of doing with your clients. And I know that you've done that in your own personal life. I remember when you were telling me a long time ago, you meeting your wife, you set an intention to meet her and to meet a love like that. And so on a positive note too, I mean, not that, you know, it's not always heavy, but I think intentions can really bring about a light to our lives and give us hope and inspire and have us see that faith is something that's real. Can you speak to what intentions are to you and personally and in your practice?
Yeah. So, first off, I believe that we are whole and complete and that all of us have a power inside of us that wants to manifest in our life. And the reason why we go through struggles in our life is to propel us to grow and step into our mastery and show up in our life, that we are all microcosms of universal source or God or whatever it is that we want to call it that rings true for us. So I know mm-hmm. in my life, I grew up being adopted, and that's how a lot of my inner child work comes from that. And then I grew up as a teenager, becoming very angry and getting into substances and other type of negative behaviors. And my shift happened, you know, by recognizing nobody else was really going to do it for me. I could get down on my knees, like they say, you know, you didn't pray hard enough, and that's why you're not sober. You didn't ask God to come into your life enough. But I realized that God's not going to do for me what I'm not able to do for myself. So as I cleaned out the emotional residue from the inner child wounds, I came to an awareness in my life through going to a place out here in Los Angeles like Agape Spiritual Center. And I found that when I set intentions, that those intentions actually have been generating effects my whole life, whether I knew it or not. The negative thought that I had was about myself, about being alone, not being good enough. But my adoption theme was generating the same story over and over again in my relationships and my life. And so I found for myself that taking our power back each and every day, doing some positive practice such as breath work, working out, something that gets you, taps you into the feel of well-being, because that feeling is very attractive in our life. That feeling tone draws about experiences, just as painful experiences were drawn to us through that. So I found by setting intentions and taking that I statement, everything starts with this I am. I have my clients find a sense of well-being and I am in their body, and I give them a positive anchor. I say, imagine a time you felt happiness in your life. Imagine something or someone that makes you feel happy. And we start with that, and we add the breath to it, and we get this epicenter of I am inside of us. And then out of that I am, we come up with a list of basically goals, and we turn them into I statements. And for me, as you mentioned, one of them was meeting my soulmate, somebody who was on the same level as me. And right. I would walk around. We have to actually walk around as if it is already happening. So I am with my most wonderful soulmate. She's beautiful. She's spiritual. She likes to talk about feelings and connect emotionally and whatever it is that we love to do. Really write that in an I statement in the present tense. And then every day after you meditate, or do your breath work or work out, starting off with something positive every day, we then go back to those affirmations. And I have some clients like to say them while they're running on the treadmill in their head. When we're in that positive feeling tone, and we start to see, and I know from my life, everything changes from that place, and we start to have a realization that we are here to show up and create our own personal universe in a way, as long as it's in accordance with overall goodness and well-being for ourselves and for others as well.
Yeah, and you've seen that manifest for yourself. I mean, you've seen it firsthand, and you've seen it with clients. So we, and I do, and I have too, so we know it to be true. And I just always want to encourage people to have an open mind to this kind of stuff, an open heart, because sometimes this is not the language that most of our clients, when they begin, are used to, per se, right? So it's kind of like teaching them these concepts. Yeah, challenging, teaching them these concepts that really, you know, in my own experience in changing my life have really helped me, you know, really helped me to believe that I can manifest, that, you know, I can set intentions, that I will be taken care of. You know, those things that, you know, coming from a very dark place, those are hard concepts to actually wrap your mind around. And that's why I do find it so valuable to have a therapist or counselor, someone in your corner that has been living in this sense and that has seen this actually work, to kind of give you, you know, some support and hold you up for the time being until you could hold yourself up.
Absolutely. It's important because we generally have gravitated towards our addiction in our life because in a lot of ways we felt powerless and we're looking for a sense of power, and maybe temporarily we feel we get that from our substance. But so this wiring about being powerless is so deeply embedded inside of us. And oftentimes, yes, we're not taught metaphysical stuff or lingo. We're taught to pray to a God outside of ourselves, or God's going to punish us if we're bad. And so we get turned off to spirituality. And we also could think it's hocus pocus or whatever else to think positive. Mm-hmm. And generally, the best way that I can help people understand that is I can show them what's been generated by the negative belief in their life, and I can get them to, on a trial basis, to at least for 30 days if possible, or even if they can't do 30 days, 1 week of trying out these positive thoughts. And I actually have come up with a list that I think is pretty decent to start with. And some of them are just basic ones like, I'm powerful, I choose joy, I choose happiness, I'm made in the image and likeness of the universe. As a sober adult, I'm responsible for creating my best life. So things like that. And another one that I like is, whatever I choose to think about expands and becomes my reality. And so just subtle types of affirmations that you can do on a daily basis beyond goal-like affirmations that start to rewire the brain. If not, we're going to continue to think these thoughts that we've been thinking about, sometimes even from in utero to present moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So powerful to really try this and to really try and create this as a routine in your life. And Noah, I know that you also work with couples and relationships and about communication. And lately, I've been asked this a lot of how, you know, in partnerships, of how if one person communicates differently from the other, how do we begin to speak the same language in a sense? Or how do we begin to learn how to be with another human being that communicates in a different way? So can you talk a little bit about how you help people in relationships kind of navigate that?
Yeah. It can be very challenging in a relationship. Oftentimes we're choosing a partner, and all partners come into our life to help us grow. First off, we have to get that. Sometimes we think we found this partner and we're stuck with this partner and they're a thorn in my side. But any partner who is in your life has come into your life to help you grow and to help you become more conscious. So if they're triggering something inside of you, the main thing we need to understand is we all carry around a one-person theme based upon our belief system from our earliest interactions on that timeline that I was talking about. So I generally, first, I can give people, you know, some tools, you know, take a time out, but also to do active listening. Reflective listening is really just hearing what your partner said and not adding on to it. I have partners sometimes use a talking stick to delineate who's going to talk and who's going to listen, and then the other partner reflects back to them, what I heard you say was this. So those are kind of general things that we can do, but on a deeper level, that partner is reflecting back to us when we're having challenges, part of our pain or our belief system from our own inner child. And when we can start to help each partner understand what it is in their one-person theme that's being triggered, and so I show them that, and then we help them identify in the moment, this is what it's bringing up inside of me, and convey that to their partner, there's automatically a deeper place of understanding, and there's an opportunity to bring that to the light. And with that consciousness, we oftentimes can step out of blame, and we can then, as a grown-up, make a request, hey, this is what would work for me. And mm-hmm. generally, as we hear each other, our partner is going to want to work with us, and as we develop that understanding. So the kind of the keys are the understanding that one person theme, what it's eliciting inside of us, where it comes from, and being able to own that, express that to our partner, and then make a request for our partner to behave differently if possible, in a way that's more in accordance with something that would work for us.
Right, right. Oh, such great, great three steps to actually begin to change those cycles with a partner. And also, I think, you know, a lot of our relationships are, like you said, here for us to heal. And so sometimes if we could look at it that way and say, hey, here's this person, or here's this opportunity for me to understand I am worthy, or maybe this person's not going to treat me poorly like the last relationship or the last person did, you know, I think that there's a lot of growth to be had in our relationships if we're able to kind of reframe it and look at it differently. And I think everything starts with our thoughts. And I know you speak about that a lot, that really it's our beliefs, our thoughts, our stories, all of that can be changed. And it's just for people out there that are listening today that don't believe that or haven't experienced that, to keep trying is my you know, greatest hope for them. And so, you know, I know you talk about early, like, pre-verbal experiences in the womb and early years of our life. And some people say, you know, to me, how could that have possibly affected me now? And so for those people that don't understand that, can you speak to that a little bit, or maybe how that could possibly still be affecting us?
Yeah. So first off, in utero, starting at 3 months, we start to experience what our mother's emotional state was. That happens first off, and so this programming starts happening then. In particular, that's why all the research shows that mothers should be in a positive emotional state, do prenatal yoga, hypnotherapy, meditation, things like that when they're pregnant, because there's a lot of heavy research with that that's showing that we start to get wired starting at 3 months in the womb. But conversely, we can start to get wired towards a negative emotional state and negative emotional belief systems. We're purely feeling at that time, but the neurotransmitter of our mother goes into the amniotic fluid, and those stress hormones, fear, anxiety, worry, due to certain circumstances, can start to program us back then. A lot of people have a hard time connecting to how that could be possible, and in utero stuff is not necessarily for everybody. For me, it was, and for a lot of my other clients, it has been due to adoption or other types of abusive situations in utero or whatever else that went on. But so oftentimes, people will discount that and say, what does the past have to do with what's going on presently or currently in my life, or even my addiction? Well, what happens is, on that timeline of 0 to 7, 0 to 7 is more about attachment type stuff. 7 to 14, we become more mental, we go to school, we want to fit. And 14 to 21 is more about how do we become a separate individual or an adult. Well, the pain that happens on any three of those timelines, or all three of those timelines, starts to accumulate because we develop those belief systems. Now, that belief system is something that gets grooved into our brain over and over again. For some of us, it's very unconscious. We're just pushing through our life. We're not even aware. So for some clients, I have to really start to take them back, do some visualizations, also do breath work to get them in touch with the pain they're actually carrying in their body and belief systems they're carrying around that they may not even be aware of. But that emotion and those belief systems that are not ever addressed, and it would have been great for someone back then to really help us so it wouldn't have gotten embedded inside of us and really say it wasn't our fault, we didn't really do anything wrong when our parents got divorced or when things went wrong at school, and that we're lovable. But if no one did, we tend to cut off from our emotions, and we kind of go into push-through type of mode in our life, a super trooper mode. And that emotional debt starts to build up inside of us as those belief systems become more deeply ingrained. And eventually, we need more and more of our substance or our drug or any other type of numbing or negative behavior, negative type addiction, to cover up that emotional pain. So I try to describe to people that there is a correlation, because that emotion wasn't dealt with and those belief systems weren't redirected. It ended up culminating with us finding our addiction to squelch those feelings and or numb out in some way. So I try to pair that up to show them that.
Yeah, yeah. And I could see how that would be so helpful for people to understand. I think that that timeline is so powerful. And even if you haven't been through an addiction, I think that that could still be kind of a guide to seeing kind of what your life has like kind of how it's unfolded and how it's kind of affected you in those different parts of your life. Because I think you're right, between 0 and 7, that attachment period is so important. And even for people that have had great childhoods, you know, whether it's being bullied or whether it's, you know, learning disabilities, I mean, there's always something. And I feel like everybody that comes across my path has had some kind of card dealt to them. So there's something to work through. So, yeah. Well, Noah, thank you so much for being with me today. Can you please tell everybody where they could find you?
Yeah, the best way to find me is through my website, noahrothschild.com, NoahRothschild.com, and that has all my email and telephone number as well on there.
Oh, thank you so much. Yes, you could find Noah there and really begin to understand, everybody that's listening out there, that we can all heal ourselves. There are so many ways. Thank you, Noah, for being with me today. You're listening to Rewired Radio on Radio MD. I'm Erica Spiegelman. Thank you all for joining us, and stay well.